Thank you, Zach and Linda, for leading us in our time of worship together through song. And what a joy it is to be a part of a singing congregation. Zach and I need to work out how we can mic you all rather than him. And I know it's been suggested already, so we will get that figured out to the one that suggested that. This morning we are kicking off a new series just for the month of August. August being missions month for us, where we get to emphasize various missions that we support or are looking to support in the coming months and years. And so we are taking a five-week break from Genesis that we have been in since January. So take a little breath. We've got 5 weeks before we resume Genesis. But this morning, our emphasis text comes to us from Romans chapter 10, verses 14 through 17. So I encourage you to take out your copy of God's Word and turn with me to Romans chapter 10, verses 14 to 17. And this portion of Romans is in the vast middle of Paul's commentary on the gospel message. That you could read through the book of Romans and see how Paul just breaks down the essence of the gospel message. And now we turn our attention to a portion of his letter to the church in Rome regarding the message of salvation to all and what takes place in the life of an individual when they come to saving faith in Jesus Christ. And what you will see is this, what I hope you see is this very cyclical pattern that takes place in the life of an individual and what happens. That before we can kick off, if you spend any time talking with our regional director, Nate Templin, his emphasis is disciples creating disciples. And I think you'll see a bit of that and how that takes place when we look at this text from Romans chapter 10. So without further ado, let us read the word of the Lord. Paul, an apostle and bondservant of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, under the inspiration and guidance of the Spirit of God, records these words for us, beginning in verse 14. How then will they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how are they to believe in him of whom they have never heard? And how are they to hear without someone preaching? Verse 15, and how are they to preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the good news. But they have not all obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah says, Lord, who has believed what he has heard from us? So faith comes from hearing, and hearing from the word of Christ. This is the word of the Lord. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your mercy and your grace in our life. We thank you for this time that we are able to gather together to be intent on worshiping and glorifying you and being reminded of your great grace and mercy. To take just a bit of our time and give back to you to the honoring of the reading of your word and proclaiming your glory, power, and majesty. To really reset ourselves in the work that you have called us to, the work that lies ahead of each of us in the days and weeks to come. Be with us this morning, Father, we ask, in your Son's precious and holy name. Amen. What I want us to do this morning is first contemplate that question that is the title of this sermon, of who then will go. It may look odd to you with the commas there, but grammatically it's correct. Who then will go? And it is my hope that after we work our way through these four verses, that you will see the clear answer. But Paul does something very interesting in this text with these four questions he asks and answers. Because just as he asks one, it leads to the answer in the next question, which then he asks, and it leads to the next, and ultimately it culminates in the very end of how are they to preach unless they are sent. You see, in order to call upon the name of the Lord, the individual first has to believe. In order to believe, they have to have heard Christ proclaimed. In order to hear Christ proclaimed, someone has to have delivered that message in their presence. In order for that person to have delivered, they have to have felt the call to be sent, to go. And that when we stop and look at that first question of how can they call upon the name of the Lord, that they hear the gospel message and they know by the Spirit moving in the heart, apart from faith in God through Jesus Christ, there is no hope for salvation. Jesus was asked where this hope was in John's gospel account in John chapter 9, verses 36 through 39. Christ answered, or he answered, the individual answered, "Who is he, sir, that I may believe in him?" This question being posed to Christ, and Christ said, Jesus said to him, "You have seen him, and it is he who is speaking to you." This individual said, "Lord, I believe," and he worshiped him. Jesus said, "For judgment I came into this world, that those who do not see me see may see, and those who see may become blind." Which obviously, when the religious elite hear those words, they really become up in arms and start to figure out how they can get rid of Jesus of Nazareth. But in order for a person to call upon the name of the Lord, they have to believe. They have to hear the word of Christ proclaimed. And in order to believe in Christ, they have to hear. That they have to encounter Christ in a very personal and intimate way. Even Paul emphasizes this in his letter to the Ephesians, in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 13. "In him you also, when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and believed in him, were sealed with the promised Holy Spirit." Paul emphasizing the assurance of their salvation, but it only comes by hearing the gospel message proclaimed, the gospel of their salvation. And in order for someone to hear the name of Christ, someone had to have preached Christ in their presence. Just as you and I are here together this morning in this room, we had to have encountered Christ in such a way that the Spirit of God moved mightily to draw us to the Lord, because someone was proclaiming Christ before us. Because individuals were praying for our salvation on our behalf. That someone stood before us and was proclaiming Christ crucified, and that Christ is the way, the truth, and the life, and no one goes to the Father except through him. That is what we see here. And that in order to hear that, someone had to be faithful to preach Christ in our presence. To be unapologetic, to be unashamed, as Paul says elsewhere in the book of Romans. And that person then is someone who has given themselves over to the diligent study of the Word of God, the study that we see emphasized in Psalm 1, 1 through 6, and it's not there, so don't look for it, Aaron. But we see the diligence that that person gives themselves to, that they live and breathe God because they know that apart from Him, just as I stated just a moment ago, there is no hope in this life. There's nothing to be joyous about apart from God. They don't live and breathe God for mere intellectualism, for mere knowledge. They are not mere Gnostics who are intent on just having all the knowledge in the world and not making use of it. They are not a walking encyclopedia, but they live and breathe God because God has drastically transformed them. God has moved in their lives in such a way that He has opened their eyes to the very reality that apart from Him, they are destined for death apart from him. And so, in whatever they do, they seek to glorify God, to give God the glory, honor, and praise, just as Paul commands in his letter to the church in Colossae. In Colossians 3:17, Paul says, "In whatever you do, in word and in deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him." Those entrusted with the word are intent on making the Lord known in everything they say and do. And in order for that someone to have preached the name of Christ, they had to have been sent. They had to have been identified as individuals that are called to go and proclaim the gospel message, which Christ says he is already doing with the apostles, first the apostles, with the 12, well, the 11, because one fell away, and then they added one back. But Christ says in Matthew chapter 10, verse 16, "Behold, I am sending you out as sheep in the midst of wolves. So be as wise as serpents and innocent as doves." And not only there did Christ say that, but he expounded upon it in John's gospel account in John 17, 18 through 21. "As you sent me into the world, so I have sent them into the world. And for their sake, I consecrate myself that they also may be sanctified in truth. I do not ask for these only, but also for those who will believe in me through their word," meaning they are the ones who are being sent to proclaim the word of Christ, the gospel of their salvation, "that they may all be one, unified according to the same Spirit, just as you, Father, are in me and I in you, that they also may be in us, so that the world may believe that you have sent me." Christ is the one who sends the 12 out, and subsequently us as believers. And it's why then Christ, we see in Matthew's close, in the closing of Matthew's gospel, the Great Commission. The very thing that we as Southern Baptists hold near and dear to everything we do. The Great Commission, which Christ says, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go, therefore," and again, the "go" is not the command there, because Christ has already sent them out. He has already declared to the 11 that "I am sending you out as sheep among wolves to proclaim the word of the Lord." Saying "go" is implied that you're already on the move. You should already be doing this because I've already commanded you. Now I'm just reminding you that you are on the move. But the command is to make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that he has commanded them. And Christ is with us to the end of the age, always. You see, they have to have been sent. But the very reality is that when we come to saving faith, and now this is where we get to what this has to do with us, is that when we come to saving faith in Jesus Christ, our mind is transformed to no longer think about ourselves, but to think of others and realize that God has called us to do good works, to live out our faith boldly, unapologetically, which means that we take the gospel message that we have come to saving faith in Christ. We are commissioned to take the gospel message to the reaches of the world. And for some of us, that may not be possible, but guess what? You can take it to the reaches of Pueblo, which I know is not vast, but there are areas that there is no activity of the gospel message. That we are a part of a wonderful association, which he didn't know I was going to do this, and I didn't know I was going to do this, but we have Scott Bailey from Majestic here because he's on sabbatical, getting much deserved rest, who ministers faithfully to the gospel message in Pueblo West. But he is a part of our RGBA, our association, a sister church, where we are intent on making the gospel message proclaimed throughout all of the Royal Gorge area of Colorado, and relying on an individual such as Nate Templin to be a resource to us, to help us identify areas where we can better engage the communities in Pueblo, and therefore continue to be a light to the rest of Colorado, which I know many consider Pueblo the armpit, and it's not. I can say that unapologetically after a year of being here. I love Pueblo, even though 7 years ago I told my wife we would never live here. That's why we lived in Monument and then left. But we are so glad to be here. But we, having come to saving faith in Christ, are commissioned to the gospel message, to live out the Great Commission, to see that the words that Christ gave in John chapter 17 and Matthew 10 weren't merely for the apostles, though that's who he started with, but for us too. That we are born in Christ to newness of life, yes. But what are we meant to do with that newness of life? Meant to do with the knowledge of God's grace and mercy? Well, it's our faith in Christ that means we are born to good works, which Paul emphasizes in his letter to the church in Ephesus in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. You see, the focus is no longer on ourselves, which when we look at the rest of the fallen world who remains unrepentant, unaware of God's great mercy and grace, you see just how selfish, how self-centered, how self-driven they are. And even when we come to saving faith in Christ, it takes time for that to be crucified with Christ, that attitude to be crucified with Christ. But we are called to do so because we are called, we were God's workmanship in Christ Jesus, created for good works. And when we stop and consider that, and especially as we look at what Paul is asking in these questions of how can they call upon his name if they have not heard, and if they have not believed, and how can they believe if they have not heard, and how can they hear if someone is not preaching, and how can someone preach if they have not been sent, meaning called from God. But even in that, we see the very reality that when we come to saving faith and come to that knowledge that Christ calls us to do good works, to go and proclaim his gospel message so that others might believe, it means that we have to be trained up. That we have to devote ourselves to the reading, studying, and application of the Word of God to our very lives. That's why when you read a passage like Psalm 1 and see that this individual is giving himself over to the daily study of the law of God. Not to get everything he ever wished for in life, but to glorify God, because he's intent on knowing God personally and intimately, how God has revealed himself to us. And in that, God blesses him so that he in turn might bless others, in order to bring glory to God and others to the throne of grace and realize that they need God more than ever. But we are called to be trained up, to devote ourselves, that we seek discipline, which isn't always a positive word, but we seek discipline to always be honing our craft. That was the one word of advice given to me and several other students by one of my seminary professors, is that chances are when a young man such as myself steps into their first pastorate, that's not going to be the pastorate that they stay at for decades. Unfortunately, that's no longer the case. Now, it's my desire to be here for decades in my second pastorate, but the reality is that the first pastorate is never that place. But what the professor said is that in that time that you were there, in the few years that you're there, it said, hone your craft. Love on the people well, yes. But realize that you have an opportunity to hone your craft, which is the declaration of the Word of God, not just from the pulpit, but every day of the week. So we seek discipline. We seek correction when needed. We're open to it. We're open to accountability, which you all just grafted into your bylaws last year. To hold me accountable to the right division of the Word of God, to rightly handle the Word of God, but also to make sure that I am being the steward God has called me to be here at Aberdeen. And we seek to be trained up even further of looking for ways of how we can not only be better stewards of the Word of God, but be better stewards of the resources that you have blessed this church with, to be trained up on how to better minister to you, to meet you where you are at. Sometimes we'll fail. Sometimes we'll succeed. But we never stop pressing on for the glory of God, to give Him the glory, honor, and praise. And it's why we can look at such a passage like Psalm 23, verse 4. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. A rod and staff, tools of discipline, of correction, can be painful. But in the Master's hand, they can be also very gentle and loving to sustain us, to lead us according to His will. And so, as we are trained up, the reality is then we have to practice what we are learning, what we are training for. That we can't just sit there and absorb all this knowledge, that we have to put it to good use. Sometimes we feel like we are succeeding in that, and sometimes we feel like it was nothing but a disastrous train wreck. That some of us feel like we're unqualified to share the gospel message, but the reality is that if you are a professing believer in Jesus Christ, you are called to do that regardless. And if you feel like you struggle with that, we have resources. We have resources to help train you up. There are, right now, this morning, two retired pastors who would love to be able to be a resource of how you can boldly share your faith. And I say two this morning because Larry's not here with us this morning. But even Brother Larry would love to be able to work with you on how to effectively share your faith. And it's not immediately just going to a gospel conversation because relationships need to be built, but it's looking for those opportunities to say, well, let me share something important with you. And then build the relationship and share the gospel message. Because we don't do it to bring success to ourselves. We do it to glorify God. We do not want to be glorified. We do it to glorify God. We do it to point others to Christ, just as Paul makes evident in this passage in Romans chapter 10. And the more we give ourselves to the Word of God, the more we develop the necessary skills to be effective tools in the Master's hands, all for the advancement of the gospel message. And that's why Paul in 2 Corinthians says this in 2 Corinthians 5:17 through 21. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. All this is from God, who through Christ reconciled us to Himself and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, in Christ, God was reconciling the world to Himself, not counting their trespasses against them, and entrusting to us the message of reconciliation. Therefore, and this is big, we are ambassadors for Christ, God making His appeal through us. We implore you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. For our sake, he has made him to be sin who knew no sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. When we come to saving faith in Jesus Christ, we become ambassadors for Christ, proclaiming the gospel message, maybe not to the farthest reaches of the world, but definitely to the various neighborhoods around Pueblo. Starting right here where God has planted Aberdeen Baptist Church in the Aberdeen neighborhood of Pueblo. But then looking also at how we can be better participants in the association that we are part of, which is the Royal Gorge Baptist Association, and help other churches around us declare the gospel message, and allowing other churches to help us, which is a big struggle, not just for Aberdeen, but for churches all across the nation, to allow other churches to come in and assist them, to say, hey, you're missing out on this area. It's okay, but can we help train you up? We have to be willing to allow that to happen and realize that, okay, we don't have it all figured out, that there are churches who are better equipped, who have more resources than we do, but guess what? We're a part of an association where we have a lot of churches who are willing to share their resources, who are willing to share their knowledge base with us, so that we might be more effective tools in the Master's hands. And when we realize that, we realize the answer to the question, which is the question for this entire series: who then will go? The answer is you and I. Because the very reality is that some of us have been sent out as local missionaries, as North American missionaries, as international missionaries. But the reality is that we are all sent out as missionaries to our various neighborhoods where we find ourselves making our home, in our places of employment, if we still have those. But even if we don't, there are, I know, individuals in our church that end up planting themselves for most of the day in various spots around Pueblo. But it's also in local outreach organizations such as Hope and Home, Crazy Faith, a Caring Pregnancy Center. Two of those we will hear from in the coming weeks and be able to understand more of their mission work, of what God has called the founders to do and what they want to carry on. Looking forward to that with Hope and Home and Crazy Faith. Some have been sent as North American missionaries, realizing that there are still unreached areas within the United States of America who desperately need to hear the gospel message or have churches replanted because other churches have shuttered and closed their doors. Or realizing that there are still churches in various areas here, even in Colorado, that need a gospel-centered church, a Bible-teaching church, one of which we just credentialed last year, Lake Avenue Community Church. Now a sister church, which we sent Scott Godinez to pastor to replant. Scott Godinez went through the North American Mission Board, a Southern Baptist organization, as a church planter, and replanted Lake Avenue Community Church, which we have a few members from, now members here. But it's not to be in competition with them. It's not to be in competition with the Avenue Church, which is just around the corner from us, but to be fellow laborers with them. Bringing back what Paul charges with in Philippians 1 to remind you of a passage that I preached just a little over a year ago here in view of a call to come and be your pastor. That we are fellow laborers of the gospel message. And that's how our relationships ought to be viewed with churches such as the Avenue, Lake Avenue, Majestic, New Heights. And I know there are many other churches here in the Pueblo area that I'm forgetting. And then some have been sent as international missionaries, whether by the International Mission Board of the Southern Baptist Convention or through an association such as the Association of Baptists for World Evangelism, based out of Pennsylvania, ABWE. And others have been confirmed and credentialed by their own church and sent by their local church to be missionaries. I know Stephanie's family has a few individuals like that, has family friends who are like that, who aren't a part of a mission organization, but have felt the call of God and been confirmed by their church and have been sent out as missionaries. I know this church was a sending church, was also a planting church, and it's my desire to see us to get back to that. But over the next several weeks, all of August, we will have the opportunity to hear from various groups and individuals on how God is using them to proclaim the gospel message and that of knowing Christ Jesus as Lord and Savior. As I said, we will get to hear from Hope and Home, Crazy Faith. Then we'll have Breckenridge Merkel from the Glory Project. Breckenridge is a native of Colorado, born in Colorado Springs, served as an international missionary through the IMB for a time, and then was brought back stateside because one of their kids needed health care that they can only get stateside. Served as missions and children's pastor at what is now Cross Fellowship up in Colorado Springs, but was First Baptist Church Black Forest. And then still felt the struggle to be in missions full time. And realized from his years of service with the IMB that the best way for an unreached people group to come to know Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior was if a man was identified in that village, called by God, and trained up to be a pastor, rather than sending someone in that looks like him or I or any one of us in this room, that is more effective to train up a local pastor. And so the emphasis of the Glory Project is a church in every village, which means that it has to start with a man being called by God in every village. And we'll be able to talk with Breckenridge on how we will be able to partner with him in the Glory Project, which means that we're going to be looking towards international mission trips with him and his organization. But there are many other organizations that we will be able to partner with in the years to come. It was just, that was the one I knew of firsthand that I've been trying to get, not just this church, but my previous church to partner with, to go on mission trips with. And so I look forward to, not this year because it's almost over, but hopefully 26 and into 27, that we have a trip on the books to go with Breckenridge to Southeast Asia, where his heart lies. And then we will close this month out with hearing from our very own Mike Proud, president, executive director of the Colorado Baptist Convention, and how he seeks to serve the churches here in Colorado and be a steward of all the resources that we give week in and week out through our cooperative funds and through the Colorado Mission Offering, the Nicey Murphy Mission Offering, and how those funds are used to advance the gospel message, and how that takes place then going from the state level to the national level. But the question will remain each week, who then will go? And my desire is that each of us will realize that we are all called by common faith in Jesus Christ to go and share the gospel message. And so I invite you in this time to respond in whatever way the Spirit is leading you, to respond to that question of who then will go. You respond. I'll be up here to pray with. I'm going to invite Ron to come up and be up here to pray with. The altar is open to pray at.